We have major holidays in the Jewish tradition, like Yom Kippur, like Passover, Rosh Hashanah. These are the holidays that, first of all, are described in the five books of Moses itself. And also, these are the holidays which are marked by what we call Yom Tov, which means that there are strict laws with regards to what you can and cannot do. For example, we cannot drive a car, we cannot watch TV, we cannot turn on any electric devices. And then we have a holiday like Purim, which is not connected to any of these strict prohibitions. And also, it is not a holiday which is described in the five books of Moses. The reason why it's not described in the five books of Moses is because the history of the holiday is associated with a period which is way past the biblical era. The holiday of Purim is commemorating the events that took place after the destruction of the first temple when Jews were in Babylon. And five books of Moses ends with Jews being about to enter the land of Israel. So there is several centuries gap in between. And for this very reason, many people view Purim as a secondary holiday, as a minor holiday, as a not such an important holiday. The question is that true? And the answer is, first of all, it's not true. But second of all, the very fact that it is not a biblical holiday is explaining its importance. Why is that? When Jews were standing at Mount Sinai, they were overwhelmed with their spiritual experience. Don't forget, this was several weeks after Jews left Egypt. They saw the 10 plagues that Egyptians were punished with. They saw the miracles of Exodus. They saw the splitting of the Red Sea. They saw God taking care of them in the desert already for 7 weeks. And now they're coming to Mount Sinai and they see God speaking to them directly. They were in awe. They were overwhelmed. And when people are overwhelmed emotionally, they usually don't make rational decisions. Imagine a guy and a girl who are madly in love with each other. And everybody's telling them, you'll never be able to get along because you are so different. You have different lifestyles, different goals, different priorities, different values, different cultures. You'll never be able to get along. But they're so madly in love that they don't even see that. And they're saying that everybody's crazy. So what happens? They get married and they go on a honeymoon and they are madly in love. But then this honeymoon is over and they are coming back to their home and the reality hits. And now they have to deal with all of their differences. And they're scratching their head trying to figure out how are they going to be getting along. So when Jews were standing at Mount Sinai, they were overwhelmed with their love to God. Then Jews were in the desert for 40 years and God was taking care of them. And obviously, when you are totally taken care of from A to Z, you are just continuing being in love. Then Jews came to Israel and they established their country and they built their temple and life was perfect. Life was great. Jews were at the top of the world, economically, militarily, socially. Jews were the envy of the world. But then the first temple was destroyed and Jews were taken into captivity. Jews were in exile. So this is the first time after the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai when Jewish history had a major downturn. Jews were in real danger. The whole story of Purim is describing how Jews, for the first time after their exodus from Egypt, after the Torah was given, it was the first time Jews, the entire Jewish nation, was in danger of elimination. So this is when Jews had a choice. They had a choice to either abandon their Jewishness completely, because if they would have said, I have nothing to do with being Jewish, I'm not Jewish, if they would denounce their Jewishness, they would have been safe. Or they had a choice to remain Jewish, and then they would continue being in danger. The story of Purim is telling us how, instead of abandoning Judaism, Jews clung to the Torah even stronger. Jews were following Mordechai, who was the rabbi of that generation, and they started observing the Torah even more. They were very assimilated. If you look at the assimilation of Jews in the world today, in America, in Europe, everywhere else, even in Israel. Jews were even more assimilated back then. So then, at the time of danger, this is when Jews chose not only to remain Jewish, but become stronger in their Jewishness. So the holiday of Purim signifies that Jews voluntarily have now accepted what they have accepted upon themselves several centuries before, while being in awe and love, while being overwhelmed with awe and love for God. So this is, imagine, just like a couple that are getting married when they are madly in love with each other and they can't even think straight. But then, when the problems of real life are beginning, this is when they are saying, you know what, we realize all of the difficulties of married life, but we are still choosing to stick together. We are still choosing to pull through. This is now their rational decision. So Purim was the rational decision of the Jews to follow the Torah for the first time since the Torah was given. The giving of the Torah started from above. God came down and gave the Torah and overwhelmed the Jews with his presence. The story of Purim signifies the effort from our side when we decide to stick with the Torah, when we decide to follow God on our own. This is why the holiday of Purim is not a biblical holiday. It's not a holiday which is written in the Torah, because if it would be written in Torah, there's something that God tells us to do. But this holiday was instituted by us Jews, by the rabbis, by people, because this is our initiative. The entire holiday is signifying what we do on our own for God. So the fact that it is not a biblical holiday is A, showing on the entire point of the holiday, indicating the entire point of the holiday, and B, is pointing to the specific strength, the power of Purim.